I requested this song.
Oh, yeah. When?
The part I feel it too. Mm-hmm. And if they go on tour, dog.
Nothing happened.
You ashed on the floor.
It was on accident.
I can't do nothing with you.
Whatever. It's my dining room.
It's not our dining room.
You're right. We just ran this shit. Sorry. Oh, wait.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right. We'd be all right. It's concrete.
Be all right.
It's concrete.
You just have to do it off camera.
Exactly.
Thank you for coming back to Cannamon Podcast. And you're going to listen to this song all the way through.
Yeah.
I'll turn it down
just
a little
like
bit.
The radio. Yeah.
Yo, I said some messed up stuff to you. But right before we started recording, I didn't mean to sound this dumb. I literally go, I was talking about, you know, his time during DJing, and it was, you know, early 2000s when it was real big. And hold on real quick. It's a vape.
That's cool. Don't worry. You didn't. I got you. And I turned the camera off you, so you good.
And my dumbass said,
no.
Wait, did they have music on the radio then? But I was talking about like NSYNC time.
Oh.
Yeah. But duh, they did. Hello. Like I grew up with radio. I'm a 90s baby.
Yeah, that's all
we
you
can't
had.
Can't all be.
When did you get your first iPod? I mean, like, yeah, iPod. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You know, I never had one of those.
Like the little.
Yeah.
I had the Nano.
You know what? I think I did, but
I had the Nano, but the one with no screen.
Yeah,
you just
I had that
you
one
were
too,
just
yeah.
fucking begging for that song that you really wanted to come.
I
just,
had it,
please.
But I never even I never used it though. Like I had it like after it was old, and I was like, what the fuck is this shit for?
Yeah. Whenever the one with the screen came out,
yeah,
yo, I was so jealous. All the rich kids had it, and I was like. Whatever. So I would listen to it on the bus and that was it. Anyways, thank you for coming to my podcast again. shit, we never get to this part. My name is Alexa. I also go by Alexa the Great 713 on Instagram. You can follow me there. I always post, you know, when I'm doing the podcast. So the last podcast we did was with my friend Carly. You might know her as Carly Amore. She's SPM's daughter. And we went to high school together. And we did a podcast together, but I could tell the audio was messed up, but I thought it was still catching, and it just didn't. It just didn't catch. So I still put it on YouTube, but I didn't. Okay, sorry, NSYNC. I still put it on YouTube, but I didn't promote it because, like, obviously you couldn't hear anything, so there was no point. Also, I'm doing this podcast mildly sick. Drinking coffee and a lot of water. I think I'm getting sick.
Ew.
Whatever. Hater. It's probably from
disgusting.
When he yelled. It's probably from when he yelled. First of all, why are you yelling? The kids are asleep.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
Second of
By
all.
By the way, if it's your first time tuning into our podcast, we do this from our home.
Don't say
preferably.
That.
What?
Because I don't want. Never mind. Go ahead. Nothing. Side comment. No, it's okay. It's
people
okay.
Don't know where we live, baby.
I'm not saying they know where we live. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm high.
All right. Yeah, we are in our dining room, which we still have not
completed
this day.
Yo, we
studio.
Have two small kids. Two.
We ain't got time
one of your
nothing.
Nasty ass kids got me sick. I just know it. But then again, it's my fault. I'll be like all over their face.
Yeah.
Maybe around another crusty ass kids.
Mm-hmm.
Not that. Actually, I don't think any. Well, none in Tice's room are crusty. Which shout out Miss Amanda. Hey.
Hey, what's up, Miss
Yo,
Amanda?
Yo, we have, I love the little school our son goes to. Yeah. My daughter used to go there too. And our kids are so effing mature, probably because of this school. I don't know what it is they do there, but it's magic.
Yeah, it really is.
My daughter's pre-K teacher, she's like, she's so mature but it was so funny when she was telling me about how she's like, but she works on her time. I'm like, girl, I know. I'm working
yeah,
on it, bro.
Yeah.
You know how she, like, you're like, hey, Bella, come on. And she's like, she just stares at you. And then you, like, have to nudge her, and then she's like barely getting up and moving, and you're like, motherfucker, bro, move.
Why is that?
Huh? And you know what? She doesn't do it to me in the morning as much anymore. Like, whenever we're doing her hair, she's like, she's pretty good about it, but it's after school when she's like tired and she's been through the day, and she's like, fuck y'all for sending me somewhere else. Even though she's begging to get out of here all the time. Anyways, can we get on the fucking topic, please?
Yeah. I was just about to say that.
So whatever. Something that I've actually really, and I really enjoy talking about it, just because I feel like it's something that I'm working through in my life right now, is like the traumas that make us who we are. So like your childhood traumas, right? More specifically, like the childhood traumas that are instilled by kind of like your parents. Because like, you know, they always say like your parents kind of fuck you up a little bit. Like, right? We're all a little bit fucked up in our own way because our parents kind of fucked us up a little bit, whatever. And I think it's sort of true, but not in a bad way. Like, it doesn't have to be in a bad way, right? Mm-hmm. It could just be like small quirks that like your, you know, your parents gave, you know, just because it was just how they did. There's that's
characteristics
one thing.
That you but follow then or picked up,
right? But then there's a lot of us who don't, like, we're going through life kind of like mad and angry and not really understanding why. We think it's because of like breakups or you know, just adult things, not realizing that those issues kind of stem from when you were a kid. Oh my God, y'all are gonna have to bear with me. I'm dying. Anyways, so like I bared the question, right? I put it on Instagram, and I said, what are some of the childhood traumas that you guys have been through? And I actually got a lot more responses than I have on any other question.
I got a lot more
people were willing to like say that over. I mean, maybe it's just something that people can relate to, right? Like,
right.
Because I feel like we're in an era of like mental health. Like, you gotta focus on it, and right. If you don't, you can lose yourself. Like, look at how many people go crazy.
It's all right. Can I get you something though?
Maybe like a I'm okay. You know, whatever. Okay, I'll thug it out. I'll have a house before bed. Right.
We ain't got no producers or nothing that's gonna grab nothing for you here. It's just gonna be me. You're just gonna be talking. I'll be in the kitchen making tea or some shit.
I'm good. Okay. I'm good. I'll just have to take a break to blow my nose every so often. Anyways, a lot of the like, there were actually a couple of responses. That had to do with like affection from parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like their parents didn't give it to them. And therefore now as adults, when creating relationships, they have a hard time really connecting with people because affection is such a hard, like I struggle with it sometimes too. I know you can tell, but like affection is such, for some reason, being physically touched for some people is so off. Like, they feel off when they're being touched. Like, I don't like going to the club because too many people bumping in, and I used to love it. Mm-hmm. But like now, I don't know, maybe it's because like having kids just really puts into perspective like, all right, I gotta stop being so fucked up. Like, I gotta really figure my shit out. So like, anyways, going back to those responses, like the no affection thing, you don't realize how much it affects people until everybody, you're realizing characteristics in people that you're like, oh, damn. Like, not that they have, like, I'm not saying mommy issues or daddy issues or anything like that, but right. You have affection issues.
Right.
And it stems from whenever you were a kid. And,
right.
You know, I know therapy does wonders for people, and I've done therapy a lot, too. We've done therapy together, actually.
Right.
And I don't know, it helps. It helps, like, getting it off your chest. And there was another one where it was, actually, it was, like, three of them, where it was, like, trusting men was hard. And I see where that comes from. Now, I trusted my dad. My dad was always there. My dad was there until the day he died, you know, in my life. But I think there were some things that happened along the way that made me like think of men differently. Me and my dad were actually really similar. Like, we had a lot of similarities. We were both stubborn. We both, like, you're going to hear my opinion. Now, me and my dad differed a little bit was, like, in a work setting, he knows how to, like, keep calm and cool, whereas, like, me, I don't know, maybe it's just because of the way that I interacted with him, but I was just, like, ready to, like, pop off because no matter what I said, I was probably going to be wrong. Right. You know what I mean? Like, anything I said to my dad was, I always felt like he doubted me. Really? You know, and yeah, oh, for sure. Like, don't
but
get me
wrong. But
you know, just the way that he would talk to me and like kind of laugh things off. Like I remember, I think the first time, and it sucked because right after this, you know, once I started, you know, when I was bodybuilding, and at first, you know, I'm some little skinny thing and I've been working out for 3 weeks and I'm like, yeah, oh my gosh, I see it or I feel it and this and that. And he's like, okay, all right, give it some time, right? And then to see me go from that to now eating the most bland chicken and rice, and he's like telling his friends about it. He's like, dude, you don't eat for taste, you eat for fuel. And like, I remember him saying that in front of people, and I'm like looking at my dad and I'm looking at how proud he is of me. And like, the fact that I can say so determined and look fucking yacked, but
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, I was big as shit. Like, dudes were scared of me. Yeah. I had such a hard time dating people. Like, I could only date people 200 pounds heavier than me. And it wasn't like fat guys. It was like beefed up, juiced up.
Yeah.
Like, that's, and so. That's who was attracted to me, so that's what I went after, I guess, at the time. But anyways, so, like, you know, hearing my dad, like, that be the very first time that I'm, like, experiencing how proud my dad was of me. And, like, the way he would, like, talk about it with his friends, I was like, oh, this, like, yeah. Like, it made me want to do it more because, you know, like, with my sister, right?
My bad. This is
no ask. Yeah,
it's like kind of news to me.
I don't know why I don't talk about it.
No, like, well, at least I'm like kind of putting two and two together because I always kind of asked you what was your fuel behind that.
I guess you're right.
I have asked you,
and
you
know, I always what was say I your,
yeah. You always said you didn't know.
Yeah, you know, I think that was the first time in my semi-adult life. I think it was like 19 when I started. In my semi-adult life that I wanted to take something so serious. Like, I had never been so dedicated to something. They had never seen me be so dedicated to something. Probably my whole life. I mean, I was in softball for years. Like, till I was in high school or something like that. And, you know, he... I don't know. Okay, so this is part of the trauma, right? Is like my sister from a really young age, from like the second she knew what the law was, she wanted to know about it. She was reading like John Grisham books in like middle school. Like, I remember my dad being like, oh yeah, and she reads such and such books. And I would be like, damn, I know, let's talk about her. Like, they always talked about like how she wants to be a lawyer. And yep, still wants to be a lawyer. Yep, still wants to be a lawyer. Oh, she knows what school she's going to. Oh, she knows that she wants to go here and here and here. And oh, Yale? Of course, Andrea. Yale, of course. Yeah. And like, I remember like the things that I would tell my, I don't know. For a long time, I didn't know what I wanted to be, right?
Right.
Duh. Listen to me. Fucking normal. And I felt so much pressure to figure out what I wanted to do because my sister figured it out really young. And I don't know if my parents set that as like the standard, like, oh yeah, by the time you're 12, you're supposed to know what you want to do. And you're like, oh. And so I felt like there was a lot of pressure to figure it out. So much pressure that I never really found anything I liked. I mean, I like what I do now. And I think as an adult, I'm really starting to find the things that I like that were just never presented to me. Like, I never learned about them. No one ever taught me about this stuff. And as an adult, really, I'm learning a lot of people don't know about this stuff. But anyways, I digress. I hope I used that right. I feel like I used that right when I used that right.
You know, I don't know anymore. I don't even. Because that's all. I don't even use it.
No.
I'd be like, no, don't say that, bro.
I know, right? So, anyways, I just remember looking and hearing about how proud my dad was of my sister, and she was younger than me. Like, that's the other thing, is like, I felt like I was like I'm older, like I'm supposed to know, and that's just not how people are. Like, they're different from a very young age, and you can't compare them to each other. But, you know, I don't know. It was like my sister, like, whenever I wanted to, you know, start picking out colleges and stuff, they were like, oh, community college. But my sister, wherever she wanted to go, they were going to get her there.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I'm not saying they were hashing out money. My sister had to apply for her own, like, student aid. So I'm not taking that away from my sister. But, like, I'm just talking about the support. Like, wherever you want to go, oh, we know you can do it, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, anytime I would get an acceptance letter from, like, a university, they would just kind of be like, oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, I don't know. And, again, I'm not taking away the fact that my sister paid her way through college. Like, she figured that shit out on her own. By the time, I think, yeah, hold on, 2016. She was in college by the, she was in, yeah. Oh, shit. I'm losing all sense of, yeah, she was in college.
Don't let it be bad.
Yeah. She was in college, because then I remember not long after that, you know, her graduation, and my dad wasn't there for that. So, you know, I'm not taking that away from my sister, but I'm just saying, like, it's crazy how much, like verbal support, like, just the showing of, you know, if you put your mind to it, you can do it, you know. Okay, and even just, like, having someone there to be like, well, what do you, not what do you need, not like, but, you know, how can I, as a parent, how can I help you?
Right.
How can I educate you more? How can I, but it was always like, I don't know, there was, and the other thing was whenever things started to, like, really unfold, you know, around college time, and that's whenever I was bodybuilding, and I remember telling my dad I no longer wanted to be in college. And for the first time in my entire life, I'm hearing my dad go, oh, I didn't graduate from college.
Damn.
And I was like, the pressure to go to college. Like, you know, oh, what are you going to do after high school? Oh, I go to college. And people would be like, wow, that's so great that you guys just know you're going to college. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know. I didn't grow up knowing there was another option. I didn't grow up knowing there was, like the career I knew I wanted out of high school was to be a surgical tech. And I didn't figure it out until I was like.
Well, that was crazy that. And I mean, I guess it's, I mean, obviously it's just in your household, because, I mean, I'm a lot older than you, but still, I still under, well, no, I'm lying. I mean, I went through the whole college thing. Mind you, I did a bid in college. Like, it wasn't like I just got in and got out, you know what I'm saying? So, but it's still along the way, I realized that college,
I really hope you know.
Ain't for everybody. I kind of did, and then I was like, all right.
Wait, but for while I was wiping my nose?
No.
Oh, okay. But
it was
bad.
Like a couple
Yo,
seconds
I got
before.
In there. I was like, okay, go ahead. Sorry, keep going. Sorry.
Yo, this is a jacked up podcast, but I love it. It took me a while to really realize, yo, college ain't for everybody. Like, you can still be successful without college, at least in.
I don't know how many people we know that are successful and don't have degrees.
Right. You know what I'm saying? It just, you know, it changed when the internet came, you know, just like everything else.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously it depends on what type of person you are, you know.
Yeah, right.
Your education path or whatever. But
yeah, I mean, depending on what you want to do, of course, like, what was my sister going to do? Learn the law online?
Right, yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? You have
and then
to
be a successful attorney.
You got to put yourself in those situations, and they do, like, mock trials and shit like that. So, like, there's different kind of testing for that. But, you know, I remember just being so fucking mad. I remember being so mad. Like, what do you mean you didn't graduate? I'm like 19, 20. I'm like, what do you mean you didn't graduate? It's like, yeah, no, I mean, I went, but I didn't finish.
Right.
Which is, which makes sense, because I remember watching my mom graduate. My mom walked across the stage. I was there for her graduation. I still, oh my God, very vaguely, I remember it was a fucking nightmare. We wanted our mom so bad. We were losing our mind, at least from what I remember. This, I was like two or three. Like, it's this was probably my first memory of my life, was my mom's graduation. And, yeah, anyways, it was just me, my mom, and my dad that I remember, and my sister. It's crazy how much information you should be getting across to your kids.
Right.
And how much, as a parent, you just, you think you're doing the right thing by not doing it. And for me, I know, like, my relationship with my parents lacked a lot of communication. They don't even know that I know things about them that I shouldn't know.
Right.
But I know that. And it would make more sense to be transparent about it versus them, you know, me finding out through people who I don't give a shit about. But, you know, I maybe this is why, like, I just believe in such open lines of communication, like 1000% transparency, like from jump, like don't hide shit from me. I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things, like, I don't know. And maybe, like, for other people, like, it's probably way different. Like, right, we all walk different lives, blah, 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 different parent. Okay, cool. But, like, there can't be, like, I feel like there's so many of us that went through so many things similarly. And a lot of it culturally, you know, with the Hispanic household. And it's funny how many similarities are between a Hispanic household and a Black household.
Right.
But then, like, you have white household. And you have, you know what I mean? Like, it's and then Asian household.
Right.
And it's like those. And
why do you think a Hispanic household keeps more secrets than others?
Is that a thing?
I would imagine, yeah. Yeah. Or
you know
or
what? I will, yeah. You know, like, I've even heard of, like, parents that are, like, especially Hispanic, that are, like, oh, my kids have never seen me drunk. They'll never see me drink. And I'm like.
And for context, sorry, people may not know. And, you know, everybody doesn't know you are 75% or more Venezuelan. So
yeah, I'm also 2% right. Black.
Yeah. We know.
I just want to say.
Okay.
I got that 2%.
So you came from a Hispanic household.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
Like, well, I thought she was white.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, you did that a lot.
And. Yeah, okay, there we go. I'm Hispanic. I eat arepas and fucking...
Speak some Spanish for the people.
No.
Come on, man. Say something in Spanish.
Why yelling, bro? We got the kids upstairs.
All right.
Because we're not talking about Spanish stuff. Anyways. So, I mean, if Hispanic households having secrets is a thing, I didn't know about it.
Right.
Or but at least
not necessarily
imagine.
Secrets, but are more inclined to brush a problem under the rug.
Yeah, that's a man thing. That's a Hispanic man thing.
You're right.
Like,
you're
but
right.
Like, you know, right. Hispanic men, they run the household.
Right.
And if they don't want the fact that they cheated on their wife to be known, then everybody shut the fuck up.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, or if anybody does know, you're not going to say anything to him.
Right.
You know, like. Like, I don't know, and Hispanic households are very, and I hate to say it, but it's very sexualized. Like, I feel like I hear a lot of Hispanic households having lack of male boundaries with women, with girls and women. Sometimes it's not on purpose. You know, I can tell it's just like people are accustomed to, I don't want to say accustomed to, but, you know, for me, it was like I got a lot of comments on my body from older men.
Mm-hmm.
And that was normal to me.
Right.
You know, it was just like comparing me to like grown ass women. And it would be like gross. Like now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, why would you fucking do, like, why are you comparing my ass to your ex-girlfriend's ass?
Yeah, it's pretty.
And it's
that's pretty rough.
Right, but then as a kid, you don't know that.
That's a lot.
But you don't know that.
Yeah.
You don't know that that's not right, because it and like you like.
How though? How do you? I mean.
No one's talking about. Look, whenever I was a, you know, a teenager, nobody is talking about that.
Right.
Who's talking about that? My mom isn't talking to me about that. Like, to that, I mean, at that age, you know, instead of, you know, communicating with me, hey, you know, we're not doing sleepovers at other people's houses because I don't know who their dad is. I don't know who their brother is. I don't trust them. But men do bad things. A lot of men do very bad things to little girls. It was just because I said so. Because I don't want you to. Right. Because I need to know where you are. Instead of being honest with me, you know, like, that's the kind of parent I want to be.
Yeah.
That's the kind of parent I want to be. I want to, okay, you think you're ready to have sleepovers? Then we got to talk about what happens at sleepovers sometimes.
Right.
And what men do to little girls sometimes. And then we can revisit if you're going to go spend the night.
Right.
And see how comfortable you are. So no one's talking to me about how men should not be, you know, making comments like that to little girls. That's not a thing. So what they're doing isn't wrong. At least not in my head. Not in a teenage girl's head. Especially, like, whenever, like, you know, you're going boy crazy and all of that. I remember one of my parents' friends, he was a cop. And he was texting me and had my number and, like, yeah. And it's just like, things like that happen, and then you become a parent, and then you think back on these things, and it makes you want to, like, vomit. It makes you want to fucking throw up. Like, and for me, it's like, this is why, like, I have the standards of parenting that I have, but, you know, like, I'm okay with that.
Right.
And I plan on being transparent with my kids about that, because the whole fucking because I said so shit, that's so fucking outlived. Like, cut the shit. Tell them. Tell your kids what's going on in the world. Tell them why you don't want them to have a sleepover at so-and-so's house because creepy uncle is. Tell them. Stop hiding the world from them. They're not going to learn shit. And then whenever they get out there, they're not going to know what the fuck to do. And by then, they don't want to talk to you about it. So why not just tell them?
Yeah.
And yes, of course, there's an age of, you know, of when everything is going to, when's appropriate. Obviously, I'm not going to go tell my 3-year-old daughter that stuff right now. Right. But if they're old enough to ask you for a sleepover, they're old enough to know what happens at a sleepover. Like, you know, one of their friends, their little middle school friends or one of their little high school friends and stuff. Like, that age, you can know why you're not going.
So, I mean, what, yeah.
It's so different for a guy.
It is so different
for a guy, but especially like, yeah.
I know, cause I'm like,
and mind you, you're a decade. Sorry, but you're a decade before me. So that's whenever things were even less talked about. You know what I mean? But like,
true.
I'm sure if you thought back at some of the parties that you went through or went to, and when you think back at some of the things that guys were doing. I'm sure you can have you have a handful of moments where you're like, yo,
I'll tell you what,
that's jail time.
I understand what's happening with communication over time and how the take this ride with me. The acceleration of communication has made us be able to be less censored.
Yeah.
Look at everything. Look at how censorship has changed since the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
you
now,
can say damn on the radio.
Right. Like stuff that you.
And now they let the N word slip a few times.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Crazy.
Right. It's because
and bitch and.
Right. And
depending
and
on the station.
Right. And how that was just something like censorship. Was hidden from people. Hey, don't say those words. Don't, you know. And I mean.
Yeah, like, they won't say the God and goddamn.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's stuff like that. Right.
Dude,
you know what I'm saying?
It's ridiculous.
And as we grow older, and you know, information is coming at you so much faster. You gotta tell your kids what's going on, especially in the social media world and all. Like they gotta know because if you don't tell them,
and you gotta be real careful about when they get that social media.
If you don't tell them ahead of time, somebody else is gonna get that message across,
and in a way that you may not want it to.
Exactly. So
you gotta be open to questions too, because there might be things that they've already seen that they're not gonna tell you they've seen, and you just have to be ready to. I don't want to say mold your opinion, but like if you're a good parent, you're trying to teach them good morals and things like that. So like molding morally. You know what I mean? And it's just like, in order to do that, you have to answer questions, because curiosity will kill the cat every time. Sorry, I went 25% white on you right now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was my, that's, see, okay, my
25%. Actually, you're only 23, remember? Because you're 2% black. Yeah.
Fun fact, you know what my great-grandfather is a black man who was raised in the forest. That is not a lie. Yes.
Wait.
My grandfather's father, grandfather's father is indigenous. And the thing is that in that tribe, they're very dark complected. They're black, but you know how Hispanics are.
What tribe is
don't
that?
Call a Dominican a black man or they'll lose their mind. So he was just a black man who was living in the indigenous parts of, like, Venezuela is very forested. At least it used to be. I don't know. It's kind of all fucked up now. But, it's a lot of forest. It's right by the ocean. It's, you know, and they still, back whenever I was going there and I could visit, they still had, from what I understood, they still had the tribe. I mean, obviously, not as indigenous. They've kind of westernized somewhat. They have, like, never mind, I'm not gonna. That was about to be a bad joke. Okay. I gotta slow myself down. I forget. Not only that,
what?
I'm high.
Okay.
Whew. Bring it back. Yo. Had a high moment there. Sorry. Anyways, yeah. That's where I get my 2%.
Okay. Yo, we dropping stories tonight. Like,
I
we
know, man.
Because, I mean, we always talked about the 2%, but I never asked you the story.
You were like, always like, now, mind you. Mind
I mean,
you,
I believed you.
Now, mind you, no, but whenever I did my DNA, it was stemming back from Cameroon, Somalia. You know, a couple of them that I really got. I think not Ghana. I don't know. It's one of them.
Yo, I need to do mine though.
Yo, I want to know what you are. I've thought about it.
Could you give me that for Christmas?
Yes, we're getting off topic. So, anyways, we're really doing it. This is what happens when we smoke. We just start talking about everything. We never finish anything. We just talk and talk and talk and talk, and we go on tangents and more tangents and more tangents. And I really hope everybody's getting a kick out of this, because it is just
like, yo, they can't focus.
I know they're like, yo, what is happening? So, anyways, if you smoke, you would follow. So there's that. Anyways,
you know what I like about our podcast?
What is it?
It's just raw.
We kind of take it on the whim. But, I mean, we always have a topic. We're like, hey, let's talk about this tonight. Mm-hmm. And then we give each other a little bit of time to, like, think about it, stuff like that. But, yeah, we just knock it off the top. So, anyways, back to our traumas, my traumas. Apparently, you have none.
What?
Man.
I know I got some traumas. I just.
Yo, he's got so much to work through.
I wouldn't say that.
So much.
I wouldn't say that, but
you have so much to work through.
All right. Well.
Anyways,
I gotta get to work.
Yeah, you need to talk to somebody. I really think you should. And you know what? I want to just say this now. I'm really happy that mental health has become a top priority for the black community, because, to be honest, like, I feel like with the black community, they are the last people to kind of get that kind of, like, treatment. Like, hey, your mental health matters too. A lot of people just, I don't know why, I hate that that works like that. Like, just
it was all, it's always state, it was always a stigma. It was always the stigma in the black household, you know.
But why?
You know what? I don't know. I don't know. I ain't gonna sit up here and try to hypothesize either. I mean, the only thing that I can think of is that black folks been through so much in their life, like, mm-hmm. you know, at least my parents and ancestors and all of that have been through so much that anything that is going on in your mind, like if you, black, like we are happy to be living. Like I tell you all the time, like I come, my people come from the hood. Like I'm, all my family from West Philly. Like my the story on both sides of my family is crazy, you know. And moving to Houston was, you know, my, obviously my escape from all of that. Mm-hmm. But I'm grateful for the life that that I'm living right now, and that, you know, my family, my, you know, that we've got to experience, not, you know, coming from the place that we came from. So my bad. So what I'm getting at is, I think when it comes to mental
Why'd
health.
Why'd you say my bad? I didn't say anything.
Oh, my bad. I thought you was like, yo.
No.
When I think about mental health and that these outside factors that can change the way you live and think about living and you know, these things in life that are part of normal life that happen to everybody.
But that doesn't make them not hard.
I understand.
Like,
that.
Okay, like it, divorce.
Okay.
Just because 50% of marriages end in divorce doesn't mean it doesn't hurt anybody that's going through it.
Right.
Like, that's not fair. You know, that's not fair. That wouldn't be fair to say, like, to you.
Right.
Everybody does. Like, okay, get over it. Like, you know how many people do that?
Right.
Find someone to talk to.
Yeah.
They'll talk to each other.
Yeah.
But, like, people get fucked up in different ways through, like, something as common as divorce.
Yeah.
You can't say that. You can't, like, I think that's
all I'm saying is
part of the trauma.
I know, and all I'm saying is I think historically in a black household we didn't think that that was a thing. We didn't think that it was possible. We didn't think that, you know, or at least you just looked at the tangible things in life. Or the I'm trying to explain this the right way. You looked at the physical more,
like what than you the had, mental. Yeah. Well,
you
okay.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can see that.
If
you had, the more you had, the better.
Yeah, like the
a social kind of class kind of thing.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, social, right? Or at least that's just what direction I'm kind of taking it though.
You might speak for a lot of people, but I know there's a lot of different stories out there. So,
you know, and like I said, I don't know for sure. If I had to hypothesize, you know, that's the best way I can put it. But I know things are different now. Once you get exposed to it, once you get, you know, and once you start learning more about mental health and at least giving it a chance to understand it, then you believe it more.
Like the more people that talk
also,
about it.
And I'll also say that, you know, black households are more spiritual.
Where it's like giving you know, to that's, God. That's, and
yeah, like
which is cool. You know, if you I'm have all faith, for that.
If you have.
But that can't be. That can't be everything to me. Like, at least, like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not good for people.
Mm-hmm.
But that can't be all that it, like. Me and God have had our words with each other, right? Mm-hmm. Especially like after, you know, my dad passed away. And since having kids, I've been kind of revisiting like the spiritual side of myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't had the best relationship with God. and so like it's just, it to not share your worries with somebody, or to go through life completely alone, or maybe not even completely alone, but just lonely. Like that, that can't be. I don't know. I'm just such a believer in people need people. Mm-hmm. I'm such a believer in that. And like me having literally like my family literally fucking, we're all in pieces, right? Like I don't fuck with my mom. My dad's dead. My sister lives in another, you know, far away, 3 hours away. Cousins and all that, like, they never really liked me, so I've never really fucked with them. I mean, one of them, yeah, but the other two, they never really liked me, so, like, I don't fuck with them. They're much older. Not much older, but older. I don't talk to family like that. Like, the family that I have is all family that, like, I've made along the way. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, God can't be it. You gotta have people. Because if God, so I feel like in my household, if, and to be fair, my parents, I have a Pentecostal grandmother. A group, she tried to, which is, if you look into it, it's a very intense version of the religion. It's speaking in tongues. I would wake up in the morning, you know, 6 a.m. and she's speaking in tongues to God and mm-hmm. telling me how she's talking to God. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And, you know, she was so heavy on me going to church with her. And, you know, she would only watch me if my parents agreed to let me go to church with her. You know, just, like, that was my grandmother. Like, it wasn't fun for me over there.
Yeah.
So I grew up having the family I have, and it stuck together pretty well. But then, you know, when you go through, when your foundation isn't solid and you go through something like death, you know, like with my dad, mm-hmm. it fucking crumbles.
Yeah.
Because if only one thing is holding you together and it breaks and you can't put it back, I mean, it fucking crumbles.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with my family.
Right.
You know, we went through something traumatic, and unfortunately, you know, me and my mom have already, I mean, at the time we were close, but she started going through her own shit.
Right.
You know, when you, as a child, and I know my mom, look, my mom hasn't even talked to me about her childhood. That's how fucking traumatic her childhood is. She doesn't talk to me about it. Right. And so imagine being a parent that doesn't even want to talk about their childhood. And my childhood was great, by the way. My mom did a 180 on the life that she gave her kids, and I couldn't be more appreciative. But she forgot that she had to be a parent after your kids grow up. And yeah. after you go through traumatic shit. So, like, you know, whenever you don't figure yourself out, whenever you don't handle your shit. Like, my mom, I'm sure she's gone to therapy, but my mom's unconditionally loved. I love her unconditionally. But she needs more help than she thinks she needs. And when you're not going to face that head on, when you're willing to hurt anybody in your life because you just want to be happy, that's not healthy. No. You know, but my mom doesn't work through her shit. Like, again, I've never talked to my mom about her childhood. And I, like, can't even think about not talking to my kids about when I was a kid. You know, like, because I'm going through childhood. I'm, like, re-going through childhood with them.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm like, oh, when I was that age, I remember, and like, I'm not forgetting that part of it, because I think when you forget about that part, you don't remember what it, like, you just can't see eye to eye with your kid, and it's hard, especially for us. Like, when they're 2 and 3, you're not trying to level with your fucking kid, because they're not logical. Everything's irrational. We're not allowed to put our seatbelts on until Ty says, Mommy, seatbelt, because if not, he throws, like, I get it. But, like, just remember, like, things like that, whenever he's like, Mommy, seatbelt, that makes him feel important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you don't have to be like, oh, my God, stop, okay? You know, like, fucking, who cares about the 12 seconds you're about to miss? You're making your kid feel important.
Right.
And I think with my mom, you know, she was so focused on making my childhood so different that whenever I grew up, I think she just, and you know, we went through all of this with the loss of my dad and everything. I think she was, she just felt like, I don't know.
When you say she wanted to make your childhood different, would, like,
like, I think her childhood was so traumatic. Again, I have no idea what the fuck it was.
Oh, so she was just trying to make me have a better life.
I think she was just, yeah, like, I think she was so focused on making me and my sister live different, like, come up differently.
Right.
And, like, don't get me wrong, like, my mom's always had the issues of, like, not being able to pull through. Like, she did a damn good job, but, like, she didn't pull through whenever it came to, like, listening to what was important to, like, how we were feeling. And it was always so fucking dramatic and, like, you know what I mean? And, like, don't get me wrong, I put my mom through some shit. Like, mentally, I put her through some shit, but, you know, okay. One of the reasons why my mom left me homeless was because she was mad at the way that I spoke to her when I was 17, 18, 19, 20. So she told her boyfriend that, and he was like, fuck her, what a bitch. Texted me, called me a piece of shit, all kinds of stuff. And I had literally, like, and this is what I mean by, like, she forgot to be a mother when I was an adult. Like, she thought you just stopped being a parent, or at least that's what it feels like. It feels like she was like, oh, you're 22? Get the fuck out. And I was like, I just spent the last year and a half with you, making sure you didn't fucking hang yourself because your husband's dead, but fuck me. All because I, you know what I mean? Like, that's how it feels.
Yeah.
That's how it feels to me.
Yeah.
And, like, she was always hung up on, like, why I, like, would talk to her the way that I talked to her. And to me, I was like, you know what shit I've gone through with you?
Yeah.
And you're fucking hung up on the way I talked to you when I was 16?
Yeah.
You know, and then just to, like, go through the, like, okay, then I was breaking up with my fiance. I was getting an abortion of his child. I was going through all of this fucking thing. I was, you know, out of the fucking mental hospital. Like, the bitch was just fucking gone. I would fucking cry, like, and it's traumatic. Like, so not only childhood trauma, adult trauma. Parents can do that shit, too. And that's another thing people don't talk about. The trauma that your parents cause you when you're an adult fucking blows, because you're old enough to tell them how you feel. And instead of listening to you, a lot of parents do this thing where they're like, no, I didn't. Like, do you not know how much fuck you that makes you feel? That's not fair. And, like, these older, you know, generation of parents, and, like, oh my god, I fucking wish I had your mom. Oh my god, I wish I had your mom, because she is not, like, there's also parents, and, you know, my Aunt Debbie, your mom, Donna, like, the family that I've chosen.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that I've surrounded myself with people and motherly figures that listen to me.
Yeah.
That's all they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I ask sometimes. Just listen to me. And it's crazy how after they started listening to me, after, you know, watching all the shit that my mom's putting me through, and they're like, you're not the picture that people have painted of you,
right.
i.e. your parents.
Right.
You're not that. You're smart.
Right.
And for me to hear that from other, you know, these women that I love, like, I've never known that love from a woman. I've never known what it is to be, like, listened to and heard. And it wasn't until I started getting really close with them that I started being able to heal mentally. When you surround yourself with the family that cares about how you think and how you're feeling mentally, your life changes. It's crazy. It's crazy. I've deleted people out of my life that I know they're okay with hurting me. And they'll sweep it under the rug every time. They just don't want to talk about it. I'm not that person. You can't fuck me over and then not want to talk about it. But you know, let's go on with life as normal. That's not fucking fair. And it's been happening my entire life. So, like, you know, adult trauma, adult parent to adult child is, or trauma is a real thing. And it's just as catastrophic as it is when you're a child. And I think a lot of people have a hard time realizing that as well, you know, because they're trying to work through, like, the fucked up shit they went through as a kid. And then you're an adult and you're still trying to work through that shit, but you've got parents that don't want to change. You got parents that still don't want to listen because you're their kids. And it doesn't matter. You're my kid. Man, at some point that narrative has to change, because your kid isn't just your kid. At that point, they might be a husband, a boyfriend, you have a job, have a home, have kid. Like, they're not just your kid anymore. There's so much more. And you have to evolve with them on that. You know? And, like, that's the kind of parenting that I want to do with my kids. And to be honest, like, I know that sounds like some white people shit, where I'm like, I'm going to listen. But, like, it's effective.
Mm-hmm.
Look at these white people with their families. And I'm not saying they're all that. I'm not saying that should be the standard, right? Like, we all have to build our own families. But I'm just saying, like, when you sit there and you go, okay, sweetie, so how are you? That shit kind of fucking works.
Yeah.
Make fun of it all you want. And I don't care. I make fun of it, too. But I do it.
Nah, I mean, like, I don't think it's just a white people household thing. Like, because the last person that I heard give that same advice was Kevin Hart.
And yeah. You're so right. But mental health is more exposed now.
Right.
He wouldn't say that about his parents.
Wouldn't say what?
He wouldn't say, like, you know, he's told his story, Kevin Hart, and his parents were not the best. Like, his dad was a fucking crack addict.
Right. Yeah.
And but look at the love that he still gives to his dad.
Yeah.
I don't even know if his dad is still alive, honestly. He's been very old. But you learn that. What?
I think his mom passed.
But his dad was still
I think his dad's still alive.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know he was alive much longer than his mom was, but you know, like, and look at how he's trying to completely rebuild his kid's life.
Right.
Everything, like, you hear him talk about his family all the time. His kids, his wife, this and that. Right. Like,
and his words of advice were, you know, he was in an interview or something. They asked,
and he was talking to your kids.
Yeah, he was like, talk to your kids. Like, use.
But he probably didn't have that.
As many words as possible and talk to your kids. Yeah. You know,
and he probably didn't have that. Right. Or he didn't have that. Like, let's be honest. Like, when your dad's a crack addict, he's not exactly going, how are you feeling today?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So, exactly. Like, and he says that, you know, he was gone a lot.
Yeah.
So whenever you go through, you know, maybe whenever you go through a childhood of, like, no one listened to me. You know, maybe he started feeling heard when he was doing comedy. Maybe, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But for me, I started feeling heard when I started picking my family.
Right.
And that's when I started being able to heal mentally, because I realized there was another view of me. I don't have to be bad. I don't have to be just this loud, aggressive. Like, that's what I was always labeled as.
Right.
And then you talk to people that know who the fuck you are, because they've sat there and listened to you, and the narrative changes. And I think that's a big part of, like, healing mentally, is making sure that, like, look, I get it. Your parents are your parents, and you only got, you know, one mom, one dad. I know what it is to lose one. I also know what it is to lose both. And still have one physically here that can still care about you, still love you. And they just... they would rather not deal with it. And it makes healing really hard, because that's a constant battle. Because sometimes, and now mind you, of course, like with the family that I've gotten close to, I don't feel so like I don't have a village. You know, I think whenever, like, I was going through, like, my pregnancy, and then, like, whenever I gave birth to Tice, like, your mom is such a key person in, like, that. And I remember being, like, you know, like you see all these videos and, oh, like, okay, so they come and they stay with you and they help you. And my mom like showed up a week later for like a few hours and then was like, okay, gotta go. Like, but then who came, cleaned my dishes, brought me food, checked on me every day, watched the baby whenever, you know, I needed it and like went through, who did that?
Donna
and Debbie. Hello. And Debbie.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
And yeah, like Donna was the one that was at my house cleaning the dish. What do you need? What do you need? What else can I do? Fucking food for months. Like, again, parent to adult child trauma is still a thing. Stop thinking, like, grow up. No, you fucking grow up. You see that your shit's all fucked up. Like, you see that you're fucking everybody up. You know what I mean? And, like, I guess, the reason why I want to talk about this stuff and be transparent with, like, my version of, like, what I'm going through is because, like, when people hear stories about, vulnerable stories about when you were a kid and fucked up shit and stuff like that, they start bringing up that topic.
Mm-hmm.
And they start talking about, oh, yeah, maybe the fact that my mom never showed up to my plays or my this or my that and just never did this.
What do you want?
I want people to start talking about it. Because childhood trauma is such a part of mental health in this day. Like people don't become murderers because their mommy kissed them at night.
Right.
So
as an adult, my bad, I didn't mean to cut you off. Mm. As an adult, somebody who may be just now discovering this childhood trauma or getting down to the bottom of it, pinpointing it, they may have a good relationship or, you know, an okay relationship with their parents right now. What do you expect them to get out of it if they have a good relationship?
You mean like with their parents?
Yeah.
Nothing. You can't. Don't have any expectations for your parents, because if you do, if I had expectations from my mom.
I'm not saying expectations of your parents. I'm saying what do you want them to do about it? Like, if you have a good relationship.
Like confronting?
Right. Yeah, do you want them to confront?
I mean, you definitely got to know, like, listen.
But if you have a good relationship.
If you have a good relationship, I think it can be brought up without making it too intense. Like, the level of intensity just has to be monitored, you know what I mean? Because you have to remember, it may be a core memory that you have that's like so deep down in your brain and you just can't get over it. Meanwhile, it was another day for your mom, you know, or dad or whatever it is. You just have to bring it up in a way of like, I just want to talk about it.
Right.
Because the second you're like, we need to have a conversation or, you know, I have a bone to pick, you know, you gotta be just on point with how you word these things, because you're about to tell them that they did something bad to you or that you just, you know, remember something they did that has stuck with them and you have questions.
Right.
And a lot of people don't like being questioned. A lot of people don't like having their past brought up. A lot of people don't like being told that they are not good. So, you know, how would you feel if someone was coming to you and being like, "Yo, you fucked me up." You know what I mean? Not necessarily fucked me up, but you know what I mean. Like, hey, it really hurt when you did this to me. Not only that, a lot of these parents don't even remember. Because again, it was another fucking Tuesday.
Right.
And they just had the worst day at work. They came home. You were acting a fucking ass. And you had too many goddamn questions. And they fucking lost their shit. Like you have to realize that. You know? I mean, put yourself in their shoes now.
Right.
You know, as someone that can now sympathize with the other side, do that. Right. As a kid, you don't know sympathy. Oh, wow, I'm boring you? Yeah, you just... You can't, just sympathize.
Yeah.
That's my best advice. Because again, you were probably being a shithead. Or like, I mean, but there's a million other situations. Like there's way more fucked up situations where you're like, hey, why'd you beat me? And so I'm not saying like, just fuck it. There's so many fucking different things, dude.
Yeah.
But people gotta work through it.
Yeah.
If you never work through this, if you never get to the bottom of why you're so angry, if you never get to the bottom of why you're so sad, you're always going to stay there.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've really learned, that I literally was driving in the car, like staring out the window. I think you were driving. And I was just like, man, I'm totally understanding what people mean when they say getting better is an everyday thing.
Yeah.
I never, and for me, like for some people, it's like work, right? For me, it's mentally.
Right.
For me, it's
I mean, you bodybuilder, because I have to work. You should, you of all people, should understand that, right? Oh, wait, I remember you saying that.
But that's with the
that.
Physical.
I went, yeah.
That's with okay. the physical. This is a lot deeper.
Yeah.
You feel a lot more, or yeah. I do at least. And I've never done this before. You know, I've never tried to understand why I was growing up so mad and angry and sad and mad at people for no reason. And then you start to look back and you're like, that might be why. Why do I have such a problem with men? Oh, that's why. You know what I mean? Like, and you don't want to like go the rest of your life like lonely. You got to figure out why you hate whoever it is that you hate. Like, because you never know like what's lying on the other side of healing yourself. And look, I know some of you motherfuckers just had a great fucking childhood and none of this shit fucking resonates with you, but F you. Now that I've said the F word 7 times in one sentence, F you. Glad you, I'm so happy you had the backyard pool. All right? I had grass. And you know what the fuck my parents did to me? They lied to me about my turtle that they killed. They didn't kill it. The lawnmower guy went over it. Can you believe that?
Damn. So, but why was he out in
oh,
in
he, the it was like, he escaped all the time. And I would like be, like, first of all, the turtle's name was Trudy, and I got it at Trader's Village.
My grandma. Like was it like a riding lawnmower? Or was
no, I mean, no. It was a push? Like, hello, yeah. It was a push. I didn't have that big of a backyard.
You said the lawnmower. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a push. And then the yard guy was like, I ran over a turtle. And they were like, oh, fuck. And I was like, and they told me she ran away, and I like went desperate on a desperate search for Trudy, and shit. And then like yo. 10 years later, they're like, oh yeah, that didn't happen. And I was like, yo. What the fuck happened? They if were like, lawnmower story, went over it, and I was like,
if that ain't a 80s sitcom story, 90s early 90s Full House,
so, man, sitcom I was like,
story.
They're like, yeah, she ran away. I don't know, she ran away, and I was like, what? Yeah, man, I was so upset.
It was definitely an episode of Full House. Or
for, oh, no, absolutely. I think that was an episode of Full House, now that I'm fucking remembering it. Something shit. Like that. At least, I mean, imagine if they were like, oh, we ran over your cat. See, why did I have to take it there? Anyways, there's that. I'm traumatized by
it. Wow. Whew. Wanna keep going?
I don't know, man. Now that I've told my whole fucking life story and people are like, that's why she's so messed up. I mean, whatever.
I mean, this is what we do here. We get down talk to the nitty things. Gritty.
What do you, how do you think it's going so far? How much time
I
we
think
at?
You, yeah, over an hour.
Oh, god damn.
Just been spilling your guts.
Fuck. Love you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways, like I said, what I want to get out of this is just people talking about, like, you don't have to, like, bring up the personal to the random guy in the bar, but, like, yeah, you know, yeah. Like, amongst your people, be like, hey, remember that one time? And maybe your feelings get so validated that, like, you know, I don't know. I like, people need validation sometimes, and, like, and sometimes you don't get it. Like, I'm not telling anybody to expect that out of any of this, but just, we got to start figuring out what's wrong with us so mm-hmm. that we can be better parents, better neighbors, better partners, better everything.
That's a good way to put it. That's a good, I see it in you. I see you growing, you know, tremendously. So, if you got the solution, or at least.
I don't know if that's the solution. I just, no, I think not. It's.
Yeah, but no, it,
but
no, it
maybe
is.
If everybody got down to the reason why they're so angry, they wouldn't be so angry.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was about to say a fucked up joke. never mind. Oh, damn it. Why? Why do I do that? Why do I do that? Because, like, that could really happen to somebody.
Yeah.
Here I go joking about it. Damn it. I my sense of humor is just way too dark. Anyways, so, yeah, I don't know. Talk about it with your siblings and stuff. Figure each other out.
I'll tell you what. Can you share with us some of the responses you got to your question?
I did earlier. At the beginning of it, whenever I was talking about trusting men and affection. Let's see.
Oh, those were yeah, some those answers. Are some
of
the,
yeah. Yeah. Multiple of each. Really? Actually, yeah. There was one where it's like physical affection and, you know, and that's why like they love from a distance. Which I can totally, you know, that can be a put a damper on a relationship whenever you're not so like whenever you're not affectionate. Right. You know? And it's I mean, sometimes you gotta work through that shit, but I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. I honestly can't. Those two stuck out to me because it resonated with me. Not that I didn't get I wasn't hugged as a kid or anything like that. Just mm-hmm. affection differently affected me differently.
Right.
So yeah. Anyways, talk about it. Cry about it, dude. Cry about it. Fucking cry about
Let
it.
Let them tears flow.
Yeah, man. Shit feels so good. It feels good, but at some point you gotta stop. So like, control yourself.
You got shit to do now. Come on now. Got shit to do.
How about you crying all the time? And I'm like, all right. Kids are like begging to eat. I'm like, no. all right, I gotta show you that video later. I can't keep going on this. But people are like, shut the fuck up. Why am I still listening to this? If you're still listening to this,
well, you got some things you gotta work through. Yeah.
No, hey, those are my issues. I think, you know what, I think
people... I'm talking about the person that's still listening.
No, I know, but they're not their issues. They're mine. I just spent over an hour talking about that shit, and I could fucking keep going. I'm not going to. I can't do that to the people. They're...
Well, I think you should... This obviously is a hot topic.
Mental health?
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah. It's one of our...
Should be.
It's one of the main things we talk about during this podcast, so you can obviously break this up. Into some subsequent episodes.
I think we should talk about it again. I think what I want to do is start, like, maybe I'll, like, put together what I do.
Let's tell you what. In the comments. Blast off in the comments. If you're checking us out on YouTube. You can't comment on Spotify. But, yeah, especially on YouTube. Or, you know, come back to the IG.
Yeah,
something like that. And blast off in the comments. And
or in my DMs, because I know some people don't want to exactly. Put their shit out. All
so
out
there, I mean, we'll dive into these like subtopics.
Yeah,
if you will, you know,
yeah, like mental health
going.
Stuff. Yeah,
yep.
I like talking about mental health. I'm such an advocate for it, and that's also why
you know what. And it's a little like you said, a lot of people still aren't talking about it, and mm. having like deep conversations where somebody can resonate with it. Look, it's still new to me. Like, it's still, like...
We're going to figure it out, babe. We'll figure you out.
Still very new to me. So, I think you like, keep going. Keep...
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
That's cool.
It was my vape.
Yeah, that's fine. It's okay. Oh. This is called the Canamon Podcast, so I think you
Oh,
good.
No, not that. I was talking about...
Never mind, man.
Anyways, all right, okay. That's it. I hope you like it and you think I'm extra fucked up. Now you understand me. Okay.
Can you play some music on the way out, remember?
You know what? Yes.
What you laughing at, yo?
Because it said sad pony.
What?
It said sad pony and we're talking about sadness.
Oh, shit.
Look, I'm high, dog. I don't know.
Feeling good.
I'm ready for bed, bro. What time is it? Oh, neither.
Time for us to go to bed.
What time is it?
11 o'clock.
We're going to be so tired tomorrow.
We'll be all right.
I know I'm a pit bull, but darling, mommy. Okay.